This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk, October 21st, 2014. And we are connecting with you on radio, streaming live, online, on investtalk.com, and of course, you can listen to us anytime you want or we fit in your schedule by via our podcast. And that's always great because we get a lot of podcast listeners, and they can listen to it whenever they want. I think that's great. We have much to talk about today. And, of course, you have a lot to say about the content of this program. We welcome your questions. Maybe you want a little more detail about picking mutual funds, or maybe you've heard us talking about rolling over your 401k when you change employers, and you want to know more about that. Maybe you want to share some of your investing experiences. I'm okay with that. I like that. And that's why we're here. We're to learn from each other. I get ideas from you. I hope you get ideas from me, and we have sharing of information, good, solid information. Now, we know you have an interest in investing because you wouldn't be listening to the show if you didn't, but maybe this attention to managing your money is not shared by your spouse. I know for myself, my wife has no interest in it. She leaves it to me. On our upcoming webinar, November 12th, we're going to explore the same topics as our most recent wealth conference. Now, one of the topics is estate planning, which you're going to need to talk to your spouse about. And I did do that. They have to be involved. So as you get older, both of you, if you're married, as you get older, the fact that you want some influence over your assets as you get to a point where maybe you're not as sharp as you were, or maybe something happens health-wise to you, and so you need, that's all about estate planning. Should you make changes as you get older to your will and your trust? You've got to have a trust and will first. Should you have a trust? Maybe all you need is a will. How simple is your financial picture? If it's very, very simple, I would still argue the case that you probably need a trust, but the argument gets weaker. The more complex, the argument gets much stronger. So what is it? Have you even thought about that? That's what we're going to talk about today. That's some of the things we can talk about. The focus of the show is always up to you. Maybe you want to talk about, mutual funds. Should you be buying mutual funds? They've been out of favor lately, but is that really true? Is there reasons to buy mutual funds over, say, ETFs or stocks? I know there is. There's a good place for it. And we'll talk about that. Maybe individual stocks is not just for you. Maybe it's too complex and you don't understand diversification and risk and, how and when to buy them and how and when to sell them. Well, mutual funds might be your answer. Now, again, on our upcoming webinar on November 12th, we're going to talk about this and other estate planning issues and trusts and managing money and all kinds of things. Hopefully, you can be there. Again, that's on the 12th of November. We'll have a sign-up sheet very shortly. It's time to hear from you, so why don't we go ahead and talk to Brandon in Mill Valley. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good, Steve. I'm calling about Devon Energy. You mentioned that the oils had been beaten down, and I thought this looked like a good price for it, and I wanted to see what you thought.
Devon Energy is one we, I hate to say this, but we probably bought this about a week ago. DVN is the symbol.
56.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Engaged in exploration and production of oil, gas, natural gas in the United States and Canada. It's just awful inexpensive and looks pretty good. I mean, it's going to make $5.41 this year, up 27%. Next year, 583. Sales are increasing. And it's a big company, $25 billion company. And it has just a so-so yield, dividend yield, 1.6%. But we thought this was way oversold. And, you know, I hate to say this, Brandon, but we may be taking profits on this thing quickly because we made, you know, it's up at 60 now. And, you know, it's such a V bottom. Did you see it on the chart? I mean, it fell sharply, and now it's come back up in 4 days. So I can see myself taking profits on it. I like the company. Don't get me wrong. But when it makes a V bottom, and if it keeps shooting up, I mean, if it trades sideways for a while, I'd be okay with it. I mean, but if it keeps shooting up, I might take some profits. I like the company, Brandon. I think it's a very good company. Very good. Okay? DVN.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. DVN is the symbol, everybody. Devon Energy. You may want to open your wallet for a better fund manager. Investing expenses worth the splurge. That's one of our talking points about mutual funds. When is it worth it to buy a manager? Why would it be worth it? So that's going to be one of our talking points today. Why isn't, another talking point I want to discuss, why isn't inflation expanding? I can give you all kinds of reasons why it should, but it's not. Matter of fact, are we dealing with deflation? Another talking point. There's going to be bargains. There are bargains in the mortgage business right now. You're talking about 4%. Is that going to continue for next year? The Mortgage Bankers Association has an opinion that I want to share with you. And the euro extended losses to the U.S. dollar today. So the euro is getting weaker and weaker and weaker compared to the U.S. dollar. Now, they want that to happen. We're going to talk about that a little bit. They, meaning Europe, the EU, the ECB. You know who the ECB is? European Central Bank. So I want to discuss that. There's a relationship between our dollar and their euro and the Japanese yen and, you know, every other currency that's freely traded out there. Notice I didn't talk about the largest economy's currency, which is China, because it doesn't freely float. It's attached to ours. It has a range that it will float in, but it doesn't freely float. So it's hard to see if we're getting stronger or weaker. I mean, you can, but it's just not a clear picture. So these are things we're going to talk about. You see the market had a big update today, 215 points on the Dow, 103 on the NASDAQ, 37 on the S&P. Now, your question you should ask is, okay, are we back into a bull market phase? And I will say, no, because it's recovered about half the move down so far. The move down was, if we're going to just talk about the S&P, I think from the very top to the very bottom was just about 10% in this recent correction. So it qualified as a quote-unquote normal correction, just barely. First one we've had since 2011. But it is a correction. So now what has happened is we have a recovery of that correction. And it, just today, it broke above the 200-day moving average. But it's still, if you draw a trend line, it's still in a downtrend, even though you've had four pretty strong days, really. You know, and three very strong days, the most recent three. But it kind of scares me. I mean, think about how fast that is moved up, recovering about half of its move down. And that started about middle of September. And this, though, is not uncommon for October. October is known for its volatility. It's also known for putting in bottoms. It's known for that. Is that what we're dealing with? Did it put in a bottom 3 days ago, and now it's 4 days ago, and now it's turning up? Remember on the the fifth day ago, 5 days ago, it fell almost 500 points in that one day, and 470 or so, and then made up most of those points for that day. Not all of them, but it did make up most of them. So, is it done? It's a V bottom, down and up. And earnings have been very good. Our earnings have been very good. Consider this invitation to call with any money question. And we'd like to hear what's in your retirement portfolio. I would. What's the mix of stocks versus bonds? And how old are you? And are you comfortable with it? What kind of bonds do you have in there? Do you have junk bonds in there? Do you know what a junk bond is? What kind of mutual funds do you have there? Do you have junk bond mutual fund? Maybe you don't. 888-99-CHART. You can send a message via Twitter if you want. You can do it right now. Send it to at InvestTalk. That's InvestTalk with two T's, at InvestTalk.
Coming up this hour on InvestTalk 101, On the Road to Millionaire Status, a sure path to get there. That's coming up in the next half hour on InvestTalk 101. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
888-992-4278. Give me a call. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Three investing expenses worth the splurge. We're talking about expenses on mutual funds. Number one. Mutual funds are a little bit more expensive than, let's say, ETFs or even stocks. But I hesitate to say about stocks because there is trading fees, and it depends on how active you are, in you're managing your money. Both in ETFs and stocks, they have a trading fee to buy and sell. So if you're very, very active, it can get expensive. So mutual funds are more expensive, especially if you are not trading. Problem though, there's the mutual funds versus individual stocks or bonds. Mutual funds, you give instant diversification. You buy it and you have a manager, quote unquote, managing it in a sector of the market that you want to be in, and he has a good spread of risk and diversification, and you don't have to worry about it. Now, of course, that goes hand in hand with being a good fund manager. I mean, they're worth their money if they're a good fund manager. And how do you define that? Well, you can do that on Morningstar. You can always buy the top managers in their peer group. And that Morningstar gives you that. Over time, which ones are the top? It's right there. 10, 25 percentile. In other words, they're always near the top of 25% of all their mutual funds in their peer group. Then you have a good manager. You want that. And another thing about buying mutual funds or even having your money managed by a professional is that you get advice, professional advice. Now, many times in mutual funds, it's just like a newsletter or something. You don't get to really talk to the manager. But, maybe that advice, and you get advice on other things besides just your portfolio that you're letting them manage. Advice about where you should be. How much money you should put at risk and what asset classes, that kind of thing. And today, in the mutual fund industry today, you can invest in almost any asset class you want. And of course, you can do that with ETFs too. Don't think I'm disparaging ETFs. I'm not. But most ETFs follow an index of some kind. And that means you have to decide which index you want to be in. And, if you start moving around and making decisions like that, then you have to be smart enough to do that, instead of just being a buy and holder. And there's nothing wrong being a buy and holder in indexes. I see nothing wrong with that. But that means you've got to buy and hold for 10 years. I mean, very long time. Buy and hold indexes. Realize that you will go down with the market at times. It's just the way it is. Now, the biggest complaint I have about indexing is you go all the way back to 2000 and NASDAQ is still below the old highs. So, if you bought at the old high in 2000 when the dot-com made everything so expensive, you would still be down. And therefore, having a money manager could have told you, well, that's expensive. Don't buy it back then. And there's not a lot who did do that. Not a lot of managers. You got to find a good manager. Have you signed up yet to become an InvestTalk Insider? It won't impact your budget. It's free. Instead of seeing a regular flood of good information, go to InvestTalk.com to sign up.
Coming up on the next InvestTalk, if you made it to 65, chances are good that you'll live to 95. So, should you invest like a younger person? Should you invest according to your age? That's our talking point for Wednesday, October 22nd. We hope you'll listen to that podcast. If you have a question for Steve or Justin, you can ask at any time. Dial them up at 888-99-CHART, and they'll answer your question on the next podcast. This is the Tuesday, October 21st edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. If you made it to 65, chances are good you'll live to 95. Should you invest like a younger person? Should you invest according to your age? Please join us then. Now, once again, here's Steve.
Okay, let's get back to the phones. I'm ready for any money question you might have. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Osman from Minnesota. I listen to your podcast every day. I have a question about an ETF, SPXL. It's like the leveraged one from SPY. What do you think about the idea of such ETFs? Thank you so much.
Well, I like ETFs. I like them a lot. I think they're very... They have so many of them now that they can do different parts of the market. You can invest in things you never could 20 years ago, 10 years ago. You couldn't invest in commodities. You couldn't invest in, you know, certain sectors or currencies. There just wasn't anything that you could do. They didn't have them. Now they do. I like the choices, the expansion of the choices we all have. Now, you're talking about SPXL. That's a direction fund. And it's exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to 3 times the S&P 500. 3 times. So you're taking 3 times the risk when you buy this. You have to understand that. But I also want you to understand that whenever you talk about a leverage fund, and this is a 300% leverage, and there's others that are 200% leverage, and there's even 150% leverage, whenever you're talking about a leverage fund, there is going to be a tracking error. It's not going to be exactly 3 times. It won't. Matter of fact, some of these tracking errors get huge, and it doesn't even get close. The higher the leverage, the higher the tracking error, just so you know. And you can do that by just figuring out just the last week's move. Figure out the last month's move. The market's moved how much percent down and how much did this move down? For instance, the market moved down about 10%, right? Okay, and if that's 10% is 3 times leverage, that's 30%, okay, from its high. So this one, this ETF, SPXL, had a high of $82.78. Okay, well, let's see, was that the high? Was very close. High, $83.59. 83.59 times 70%, because the market went down 10, and this is a 3 times leverage. This thing should be, make sure I did the market math right, 83.59 times 70%. It should have went down to 58.51. Okay, that's what it should have went down, that if it went, fell 10%. And the worst that this went to was like 61. Now, I know that's only 3 points, but as a percentage of 60, 3 points is 5% off in a month. So you have, that's what a tracking error is. It can't do 3%, 3 times perfect, up or down. It can't. And the longer you have it, the larger the tracking error becomes. Now, that doesn't mean as a short-term trading vehicle that it's no good, but because on a short-term basis, it probably is pretty good if you pick the right direction. But not a long-term investment. They just don't, the leverage funds to me, the index funds, just don't make a lot of sense because they don't track like they should. They really shouldn't. Now, on a short-term basis, I kind of like it if you feel you want to hedge against for a month or a week against the downside or upside or whatever, you want to hedge. That's what I use ETS, the ETS for, the downside and upside index funds. I wouldn't mind using the hedge because you can expose less money because it has a higher bang for your buck. Okay, so why don't we have inflation? Why is there so little, if you think about it just for a minute, we have a growing economy, right? We have a Fed that's been pouring money, printing money like crazy. Central banks around the world have been printing money like crazy. So that, and we have that would tell you that we have a strong economy, jobs are being created. usually in about this time in a recovery, we should see lots of inflation starting to pick up, and therefore the Fed starts to fight inflation. We see more of a deflationary pulse than anything else. Oil's down, oversupply of different commodities, gold is not doing very well. I mean, it's doing okay. What? It's not normal. We're at an abnormal situation because we should have some inflation, and we don't. What is that telling you? That tells you all that money the Fed and all the other sovereign governments around the world, all that money they're printing, does it say that maybe it's not doing what it's designed to do, and that's to stimulate our economy enough to keep it, you know, running and going fast enough to produce some inflation, some demand? We have economies reducing their demand, not increasing their demand. And now you look at Europe falling back into recession. But we have a growing economy here. Why don't we have some inflation? Just asking the question. I don't know if I have an answer here. Maybe all that printing money is not working. Not working like it's supposed to, anyways. We're talking retirement view appointments for our Southern California listeners. I'm going to be in Dana Point, our main office, on October 29th. So if you want to sit down and meet with me, just set up a time. Be happy to do it. Just go to investtalk.com and then click on Make an Appointment.
Listening to Invest Talk, even Buffett makes mistakes. This week, Warren Buffett owned up to losses in his UK supermarket chain, Tesco. Their shares dropped 49% this past year. But let's talk about you. Give us a call with your questions or your story. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. That's our number. Give us a call. 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley. You're listening to Invest Talk. So let's catch up on that 24-hour listener line number. That's what we call it. Here's a question that came in between programs.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Steve. This is Vijay Singh from New York, listening to you on your podcast. A great show, as always. I just wanted to know about the VF Corporation, ticker symbol VFC. I wanted to get your view on the retail sector in general, and maybe get a price point of when to go in and what you think its dividend is doing. Thank you very much, and I will be listening to your show later. Bye-bye.
Well, this is a very solid company. They manufacture branded jeanswear, outdoor apparel, sportswear, athletic apparel, occupational apparel, and it's a $28 billion company. This is a big, big clothing company. They have a lot of different brands. Now, they are... Remember, it's $28 billion. They are increasing their sales on average 8% per quarter. Earnings are going to be up 13% this year and up 14% next year. Very solid company. The issue is it's still a little expensive. It fell to $61 or so, right to the 200-day moving average. And today, 4 days later, it's 66. It fell from like 66. $7 or so, down to 61, back up to 66. So it didn't fall much, but about 10% with the market. But right to the 200-day moving average. Today it was up $2.71 to 66.67, so most likely had earnings out today. But the market was up big. We have to see what happened today. Insiders were buying early this year and late last year. And they still have insider selling, but it's more important to watch the buyers than the sellers, because sellers many times they're just selling because they're realizing stock options. But buyers physically go out and buy, insiders physically go out and buy their company. That means they have a lot of faith in their company, and this is a very good company. So I don't know if I'd buy it now because it had a big up day. If it breaks above 67.50 or so, I'd be buyer then, because it's going to keep going up. If it breaks back down, It has a lot of support right around $61, $62 was where it fell before. But right now, after this big up day, you either will see let it pull back a little bit or let it break out and then buy it on a technical chart. Fundamentally, very strong company, just a little expensive. I mean, it's a $66 stock, going to make $351 next year. So that's what, 20 PE? Almost. That's not. And it's growing by 7%. That seems expensive to me. So I really see, you know, our recent downstroke, our correction of about 10%, really didn't, a lot of stocks really didn't get cheap. Certain stocks got cheap, but not all of them. This one didn't get cheap because it has solid numbers. So quality speaks for itself, and this is a quality company. Time now for InvestTalk 101, on the path to be a millionaire. A millionaire. It's not as much money as it used to be, but still quite a bit. You want to be on the path to make $1 million? To say it's never too late to start saving, but that's a good saying, but there, time is on your side, and it goes against you if you wait too long. You're not going to amass major financial assets if you're waiting until you're 55, 60 years old. Just not, you're going to have a hard time doing it. Most people achieve a millionaire status because of habits they formed in their 20s and 30s. Habits of not overspending. Habits of saving. If you're 25 years old and you save $276 a month, that's, by the way, 10% of your net income if you make $40,000 a year. And you're 25 and you make $40,000 a year. And if you increase your contributions by 3% annually and you earn a routine average return of 6%, and then some years you're not going to make anything and some years you'll make a lot. But average over 6% over until you're 65, you'll have $1 million. $276 a month. Increase it 3% annually. Have a decent, okay return of 6%. Over the life of that time, to 60, 65, you have $1 million. If you wait till you're 45, from 26 years old to 45, you're going to have to save, instead of $276 a month, you're going to have to save $1,300 a month to get to $1 million. So what's the lesson here? How about max out your IRAs and your 401ks, you know, invest some money, keep investing. Keep doing it over time. Have an investment plan. And the earlier start, the better. So start early if you can. If you're late to the party, you just got to start saving more. You got to do it more. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have a question about formulating an effective investment plan, give me a call. 888-99-CHART. We'll talk about it. Or click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
My name is Robert. I'm calling from San Jose. My question is, how important is it, in Steve's opinion, if you have three or four rental homes, to put each one in a separate LLC? And what's the real benefit of that versus risk versus reward for that? Again, what is the risk versus reward benefit for putting each home, if you have two or three rental homes, in a LLC corp? Thank you.
An LLC stands for a limited liability corporation, and if you have three rental properties and you put each one in an individual LLC, the thinking behind that is that you're protecting one property from another. So if you get sued for someone getting hit or falling on your property or die on your property for whatever, and they try to blame you, it's difficult for them to go after the two other properties, you see. Another reason is, well, I will say this. That's the main reason. Now, you can achieve the same thing with one LLC and make sure you have proper insurance for all three. And that would be, what you would do is you'd have liability limits on all three policies, and then you'd have a much higher limit umbrella policy on all three properties. One umbrella over all three. And you can have just one LLC. Limited liability corporations, just like the word implies, limited liability, LLC, limits the liability of the owner, you, the owner of the property. It doesn't protect you completely. It just limits your liability. And you can protect yourself from that limit by buying insurance. I never understood, because if you set up three separate corporations, that means you have to have three separate tax returns. And you're going to have three separate either K-1s, because if you're the owner and you got to have, yes, you give yourself three K-1s for each property, and then you got to put that on your own individual tax returns. So now you have four tax returns to deal with. I never understood that as being very efficient. But I do understand lots of insurance to protect yourself and protect if people trying to take your property for whatever reason. I do understand that. But that's just my opinion. You might get a different opinion from a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. So you might want to talk to a lawyer. Just make sure you talk to one that's specifically dealing with real estate. And he'll give you the pluses and the minuses. LLC 1, 2, or 3, or just 1. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So have you looked at the mortgage rate lately? It's now 4%. Gone back down, interest rates are falling. And again, that's telling you, remember QE is ending. Shouldn't interest rates be moving up? But they're not. Why not? Our economy's expanding. Shouldn't interest rates be moving up on an expanding economy? They usually do. They're not. Because there's a rush to quality here to the United States from other places that look a lot worse, like the EU. But the mortgage rates are 4%. Now, if you remember right, about a year ago, last May, so we're talking about a year and a half ago, I said mortgage rates or interest rates are going to rise. And they rose for the rest of last year, and then starting this year, they started to fluctuate, and now they're back down to 4% on mortgage. You remember that's for a 30-year fixed mortgage. You remember the low of a 30-year fixed mortgage? It was 3.35. So it's 4% now. Now, so since I was wrong on thinking the interest rates would rise, but I always said it's going to be very slow. It's going to be slow. It's not going to be fast. So the interest rates and mortgages went to 4.5%, back down to 4, back up, back down now. So it's a slow, slow movement. Are they going to continue to rise over time? I think so. Have I been wrong about rising? Well, I guess, a lot of people want to point out that I was wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. But it's still higher than it was. But I'll accept being wrong. Now, the Mortgage Bankers Association, they expect application for mortgages next year to rise by 7% for the year. And they point to job growth and the low mortgage rates as the reason. Job growth and low mortgage rates. Now, we know that we've had increasing jobs, and it's been decent, not great, but decent. But it's still the labor participation rate is still stubbornly low at 30-year lows, almost the lows that they've been since they've been counting. Why is that doing that? Well, it could be because of the baby boomers getting older and they're falling out. But remember, the labor participation rate, they're not talking about people in retirement, 65 and older. They're talking about people like from 24 to 65, which they consider a labor pool. 24 because kids younger than that are still in college. So that's really weak. But what's driving the lower interest rates is the flight to quality from the EU and other parts of the world into our bonds. U.S. Treasuries are flight to safety. Even though they're not paying much, it's still better than anything else. And the flight out of junk bonds. Now, I will say this, in the last few days, junk bonds, like the market, are trying to recover. But they've been falling since July, basically. And that's higher, lower lows and lower highs. And now they're trying to make another high. Will it be a lower high than the last one? And that's what we're seeing. We won't know that for a little while. But so that's what's driving mortgages. And we talked about this. The millennial generation, kids that are out of college and now are, 30 years old, 31, 32. That generation is still paying off college debt. And they're forming households much at a much slower rate. They're staying home with their parents much longer. And this is delaying real estate. But they're starting to come into the marketplace. That's a big group of people there. And they will probably support this finding by the Mortgage Bankers Association about 7% rise in mortgages next year, especially if interest rates stay low. I can see that. InvestTalk is brought to you by KPP Financial, everybody. We're registered investment advisors. We manage money for clients all across the country. If you have a question about money management services of any kind, including questions about any financial products, annuities, college saving plans, you can ask it directly by going to InvestTalk.com and clicking on Contact Justin or Contact Steve.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast. I'd like to know your valuation for Altria Group. The symbol would be MO. I'd like to know if you think it's overvalued at this point and whether they can afford their dividend going forward. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
Altria Group. Remember that's old Philip Morris and changed it to Altria Group? Now, there's still a Philip Morris. PM is its symbol. Altria Group is MO. Altria Group manufactures cigarettes and other tobacco products, mainly sold under the Marlboro and Black and Mild names. Can they afford their dividend of 4.4%? Probably yes. Sales are flat. And remember, we're talking about cigarettes, so no one wants, everybody, that's politically unpopular to smoke, right? But their earnings are creeping up as they creep up every year. They've been doing it pretty consistently. I think their dividend's fairly safe. They have plenty of cash flow. It's a $47 stock. They're going to make $2.77, and they have about $2.50 in cash flow from operations, and it's a 4% dividend, so a 4.5% dividend. Well, that's what? Less than $2. So they have the money from operations to pay the dividend. And they've been very consistent increasing that dividend every year. Now, the biggest concern is tobacco. I hate smoking, by the way. I just can't stand to be around the smoke. My parents were smoked like it. You couldn't believe when I grew up. But with it being politically unpopular, I think you might, you got to consider that, because even though lawsuits are really tailed off because everybody knows it's bad for you, still they're not growing. It's not a growth company at all. No growth. Probably shrinkage, slowly shrinkage. We're getting down to our final 10 minutes of the hour, but we still have open lines and we can get to you if you want to give us a call. Be our last call of the day if you want. Call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Does anybody successfully time the market? Why do people keep trying? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now on InvestTalk? You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. This is InvestTalk, and we're glad you value your hour with us. Again, here is Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
888-992-4278. Time to give us a call. We can get you in the last segment here. We have just a few minutes left. The euro extends its losses against the U.S. dollar. Why did they do that? Remember, that's been pretty bad lately, right? The euro, because their economy is stinking. But, of course, they have said also today, good old the ECB, European Central Bank, Draga is the guy who's running that, stated he may adopt additional steps to stimulate the EU and step up his corporate bond buying. They may step in and start buying corporate bonds. They have talked about this for some time, but they haven't done anything about it. And one of the problems is Germany doesn't want them to do anything about it. And Germany is the biggest economy there. And they're falling into recession, but they don't think it's wise to have stimulation going on, at meaning taking on huge amounts of debt, when there's certain economies, and they don't like to point fingers, but it's France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, that they haven't really taken these steps to fix their economy by, loosening up their labor practices laws and doing certain structural changes, which will eventually lead to much stronger economies. They don't want to do it because they're totally strangled politically to do anything like that. So the easy solution for those countries is, and the quick solution is, QE, their form of QE, quantitative easing, spending money, buying bonds. And they think that that will result in expansion, like it did here. But as I had talked about earlier in the show, if ours works so great to expand our economy, and remember, an economy is expanding, growth explodes, grows, and the jobs are being produced, and we're doing all that, what normally happens or follows is inflation starts to pick up, and we don't have any of that anywhere. So what with the huge amount of QE, that we should have some inflation. We have deflation going on. If you don't believe me, look at the oil prices. Well, if Germany is really dead set against, and there's been lawsuits against the ECB to prevent them from doing that kind of QE. They don't, and the reason why the lawsuits exist because the lawsuits are saying that they don't have the authority. They were never given authority to do what our central bank did. And if you think about it, it's the ECB. There's how many countries, how many sovereign countries are involved, and which country's debt do you buy if you're the ECB? Which ones? Who's making that decision? You can see how fraught with problems that could be. Now let's answer one more question from Joe in San Jose. He called at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I had a question about my 401k. I have about $30,000 in there. I was thinking of cashing it out because of some financial troubles that we're going through right now. I wanted to ask, how much would I be taxed on that? On $30,000, I'm probably going to make about $60,000 this year. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to, on $30,000, you're going to pay a 10% penalty if you take it out before retirement age. That's $3,000. Then the whole $30,000, if you take the whole thing out, will be added to your income of $60,000, and you'll make $90,000, and you'll be paying income tax on $90,000. So you're going to be penalized 10% plus pay income tax on it. And therefore, the dire circumstances of financial that you're in, if you have to do it, I understand that, but try not to. And there are hardship rules about, tapping your IRA 401ks, in which you can borrow the money, maybe, and then pay it back at a later date, and then won't be penalized or taxed. You need to talk to an expert on that, not me. But there are things that you should explore before you just take the money, because it's so expensive. And rightfully so. Remember, these 401ks, IRAs, are designed for retirement. If you have a short-term problem in your life, they try to accommodate emergency situations. But you need to plan better. Spend less. And I realize if you got laid off, sometimes it's just unavoidable. Just for me, if that happened, you just go work. You find jobs that pay the bills. Jobs that you're way overqualified for. If you have to, you have to. Before I close for the hour, let me remind you that InvestTalk Insiders receive weekly advisories on important investing topics, along with free access to our library of webinars and a bunch of more stuff than that. You can sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. We thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.